This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio. I'm Dave Fallon, along with Providence Business News editor and co-host Mark Murphy.
Hi there, Dave.
We're going to talk about developing the arts in a community and how it might relate to economic development. And to do that, our guest is Mr. Bert Krenka, Artistic Director of AS220 of Providence. Welcome, Bert. Thanks for trudging through the snow to talk with us.
No problem. Pleased to be here, David. Mark?
AS220 is a nonprofit community arts center. It started back in 1985, I believe.
Correct.
First of all, quick question about Bright Night Providence. It didn't happen this year. What are the chances, you think, right now of it returning?
Well, I think if you were out that night, you'd certainly want to see it return, and hopefully even better and brighter, if you will. I know that the city was particularly animated when we had First Night, and where all of the venues in the city, churches and everything else in downtown, were animated with art and cultural activities, and people were here from 1 o'clock in the afternoon until 1 o'clock in the evening. And then Bright Night, with very minimal budget, tried to create or recreate some of that. I'd like to see us go all the way back to First Night and really animate the city. And frankly, the budget was about $250,000, and it seemed at this point right now almost insurmountable to be able to raise that kind of money for a one-evening event. And yet, for me, as a capital city, as a signature event, that seems like a small amount of money. Obviously, in my mind, I think the corporate community should be the one stepping up in regards to those kinds of things. But so a number of organizations, ourselves in the new Aurora Club where Roots was, we did some cultural programming, and we had pretty good attendance. Our shows were sold out, but certainly not the vibe of a First Night or a Bright Night.
Providence, you know, is an arts center. Is the arts community now a measurable economic asset locally?
Well, you know, again, it depends on how you measure those things. If you look at AS220 starting in a completely run-down, abandoned building in a run-down, abandoned city, and then look at the development of our three buildings, which represents about $25 million of investment and created numerous jobs and small businesses, and then look at all of the investment that's been made around us. So if you take the club, which was formerly a strip club behind us, which is now turning into a hotel, that would have never happened if we didn't do our development on with the Mercantile Block and the Dreyfus Hotel. So there's a lot of different indicators and measurements you can use. We can look at jobs. We can look at things like our building and development and what we've done to the built environment in the city. But you also need to think about things like quality of place and the quality of life. I think in what has become a very global and competitive market for businesses and all of these kinds of things, I think talent is becoming progressively more selective about where they want to live, and they're very particular about that. And they sort of measure where they're going to locate and where they're going to live depending upon the kinds of amenities or the kinds of things they may have access to in a community. And Richard Florida sort of predicted this quite a while ago, and it's becoming more and more true. And art and culture, and accessible art and culture, is very, very, very high on that list, not just as audience, even as participants. You know, they find that a lot of people in the tech industries, like dot-com industries, that, I don't know, some crazy percentage of them play music or did play music at one point or another. So they don't just want to sit in the audience. They want to get on stage, you know. And I also think it has something to do with the amount of art and cultural activity on all levels, from the very grassroots and alternative to the more classically Western European traditions of theater and the entire gamut. I think these really also help a community in terms of its imagination and how it sees itself and how it can imagine and reimagine itself into the future.
Bert, one of the things that's sort of really coming to the fore in the last couple of years has to do with art moving outside of just sort of creative or performance art, but into creative manufacturing, advanced manufacturing, the maker culture. I mean, that's, and AS220 has been really with the Fab Lab going now, getting involved in the digital city. I mean, it's really connecting itself much more directly with the economy as opposed to being an amenity. It's now making itself a key part of the economy. Is that right? And that's your approach, right?
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, I think the whole maker culture and publishers like O'Reilly and Make Magazine and all of these people that has been fueling this sort of, stimulating this whole idea of innovation, something that you know, this country was built on and still excels in many ways, I think, in some ways, in spite of our performances of our public school kids and all of that stuff, we still tend to be a very innovative culture. And I think this whole maker movement is really sort of recharging that. And places like AS220, for us, it's really about access and lowering the barriers to access to a lot of this technology and knowledge. I don't just hang my hat on the idea of 3D printing, per se. That's just a new technology. I mean, it's going to be used and adapted, and it's going to fall into place one way or another. But the idea of AS220 creating spaces where the next generation of 3D printers is going to, where people, anybody can begin to access that stuff. So for us, it's really about access and doing everything in our power to lower barriers. Now, that becomes very challenging because you still have to pay your bills. So how do you keep these things very accessible and affordable and at the same time, you know, manage a business model that's going to be self-sustaining long into the future? Any idea of, well, let me put it this way. AS220 is about 60% rent income, about 40% contributed income through grants and all the different kinds of funders and fundraisers. That's a very strong model for most art and cultural institutions. At the same time, we're going to raise 40% of our money. You know, I don't have to talk in the radio show business. I don't have to say much about in the public radio field how complicated and challenging that can be. So on the one hand, we want to create opportunities and access with low barriers. At the same time, we have to make it all economically viable.
This is The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, and we're talking with Mr. Bert Krenka, Artistic Director of AS220 of Providence. Let's continue that thinking about your growing organization. As we mentioned, you started out with a small room at what is now PPAC decades ago. Now there are several buildings. You've got a lot of things going. How has the challenge changed in terms of managing all this and funding all this?
Well,
you know, in two simple sentences.
You mean you're going from an $800 budget, and then when we did our first building, an $80,000 a year budget, one paid staff person making minimum wage, to a $4 million budget and 60 employees. You mean that challenge?
Yes.
Well, first of all, you grow. I mean, just like any business, you grow both in your knowledge base and the kinds of experiences and the kind of skills that are required to begin to manage something at a larger scale. And you also begin to draw in people who come with a lot of talent and skill. And you have to be able to delegate. You have to be able to trust people with responsibilities. And we've been very, very lucky in terms of the talent that we've brought to the organization. And it's certainly not because we pay well. Anybody who works for the nonprofit organization, AS220, makes equal wage, and it's less than $40,000 a year with a great health care plan. So one of the challenges moving forward and that we need to learn is we've been working on defining what we consider a living wage. We never want to compromise the equal pay policy, but we also want people to be able to afford a reasonable life. So, you know, the federal government defines a living wage, and no one can live on that. So we've polled our staff, and we're setting a goal to create a wage that actually will, and I think that's a critical component to sustainability of what we're doing, is that, you know, people come there because of the values in it, but eventually it's like, oh, geez, I want to have a car, I want to have a house, I want to have a child, you know, these kinds of things. I can't really do it. So we're trying to figure out how to make it to a point where it's still equal pay, not like you're going there to get rich, but at the same time, you can sustain a quality life. So that's one big challenge for us. And I also have to admit, we're projecting out in our 2015 budget, and there's a whole bunch of grants that are ending. We may renew those relationships, but I'm not sure of it. We're looking at some fiscal challenges in the year 2015 that are pretty overwhelming, but it also creates a sense of urgency for us of getting back out to our community and talking about where we want to head.
You know, Bert, when you start talking about talent and the things you're doing to sort of attract people, it's interesting. The larger you grow, of course, the more of a bureaucracy you can become, but that's in many ways anathema to creativity, right? Which is the founding principle of AS220. How do you find the people who are both good bureaucrats and good managers and creative at the same time?
Well, unless you take management as a creative challenge. I think the structure of AS220, the way we communicate, the way we delegate, the way we hold people accountable within the organization in and of itself is a fairly creative approach. So we have breakout budgets for all of our programs, and every program leader helps create our budget every year and has year-to-date meetings on where they stand against budget on a monthly basis. So everybody holds a large amount of knowledge about how the organization runs and a huge amount of responsibility to satisfying that. And we were actually highlighted, you know, in Fast Company one time and places like that. So even on the business side, and I know we've even influenced business people in terms of the way we operate our business. So I think if you take ASU20 and you look at it as almost like a Christos art project where he wrapped islands and did all this stuff, we think of ASU20 as a very complex social work of art, and that all of the participants that are on staff are artists who are contributing and players within the creation of this thing. And frankly, myself included, as the founder and the rest of us, are really in service to an idea. And that's really the way I see my position and role there.
Okay, we'll have to wrap up now.
Okay.
And our guest has been AS220 Artistic Director Bert Krenka. Thanks for joining us, Bert.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you guys for having us.
Thanks also to Mark Murphy of Providence Business News.
As always, great, Dave.
I'm Dave Fallon, and this has been The Bottom Line on Rhode Island Public Radio, Rhode Island's NPR.
Support for The Bottom Line comes from Bank RI, a local bank creating financial solutions to help small businesses grow and succeed. More at bankri.com.